space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. The West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Crap. Operator, give me the number for 911.
Thank you. game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's old Shaziz out here. I'm joined with Thomas Sanderson. We're kicking back and getting ready for the show, I think. Anyway, yeah, I put a link to the video over there in ShazizRadio.com and in the chat room there in Wake Radio. This video, one of the latest videos that I did called Watch This. It's an interesting video where I take a fluorescent bulb and I show using a Slayer exciter using that fluorescent bulb to charge up. But the interesting thing about this, the anomaly that I liked and the reason why I did the video, was that I show in the video a 9-volt battery that is drained down to approximately about 8 volts and some odd. And you can actually sit there and watch as the the battery not only energizes the Slayer exciter, but lights up the light bulb, and the gas inside there essentially charges up a capacitor, and you can watch as the voltage will exceed the voltage that's actually in the battery itself. And so I do this like twice in the video, so that once I did it under load, and the other one I did it while it was not under load to show the difference there. But either way, the voltage continued to rise. It continued to charge even while it was under a load. And so, with that said, like I said, I did it twice in the video where I show charging with this thing. And at one point, it was under 8 volts. The first one was over 8 volts, and then the second one was under 8 volts. It was just a regular, cheap old dollar general store 9-volt battery. But the anomaly that I was seeing there was that I was actually, after charging, getting I got to be careful how I word my words, because I do get thumbed down a lot. This particular video so far hasn't got hit, but yeah, I'm sure it will, especially after today. Anyway, yeah. I end up with 10 volts of electricity inside that capacitor from a battery that wasn't fully charged up to 9 volts. Now, for some folks out there, that's not substantial. They're going to ask, you know, oh, yeah, but how much of this and how much of that is there? You know, that's not the issue, is what I'm talking about. I'm only interested in my alternative energy research is the voltage alone. And when I get one particular gizmo finished and prove my theories on the whole deal, then everybody will understand why it is I've been shouting that all this time. You know, the system that we use right now today is so inefficient. There's so much waste energy that goes on. And maybe in some sense I'm trying to redefine what electricity really is. If you actually look out at all the technology that goes with the LEDs, the light emitting diode technology, it's amazing how they actually put these things together, how much the process is to actually make the little wafers that make the little diode parts that go inside that thing, and how they actually function. In a LED, when the electron hits a photon, it actually produces visible light. Well, they not only make ones that actually produce visible light, but they also make some that produce invisible light as well, such as in the infrared spectrum where your eye can't see. And so, with that said, even in the dark, you still have light, as crazy as that sounds. They're, whatever you want to call it, dark light, infrared. Light is heat, and heat is light, vice versa. And even mainstream science won't argue with that. It's energy. But what interests me the most about this particular video and charging using a fluorescent bulb that is being energized by a Slayer exciter is the fact that you not only are getting light out, but at the same time you are actually capable of charging a battery or a capacitor bank. And even while it's under a load, you're not only still getting light, but you're still charging that capacitor bank. And so there's a whole lot more going on there than meets the eye. So with that said, you have solar technology out there, solar panels, and the way that they work, pretty much same kind of process, using different materials, I'm sure. photons hitting down there and energizing everything. I put down there in the chat room a link to Laser Sabers. I think I only put it in one chat room, but I put a link to Laser Sabers video because of some of the quality, actually all of the quality that he does whenever he makes stuff for his videos or whatever. But he also is doing some solar panel stuff. He has a website where he actually sells different solar panel kits and such. So if you're on the Super Chat room there, there's two ways you can get to it. You can scroll down to the TeslaMaker.com banner, or you could actually click on the Mad Science Store and then on the sign that says "Let's Go Shopping," and you actually get another link to not only his website where he sells different things, but you also get a link to his YouTube channel as well, so you can check out some of his work. He does a video called the Easy Spin Motor, which is a really impressive low-powered motor that it seems to go on for a long time. And somebody just asked me a question. Let me see if I got it. No, I don't have that right now. Sorry, it's in the Shaziz chat room there. Anyway, so every time I come across something that I think would be beneficial for folks, these flexible solar panels, he can get some of those to you. And he has some really good work that he does 3D printing up these easy spin motors that maybe you could purchase one and test them out yourself, but they're like I said, really amazing. Anyway, before I get off of that subject, if you've been on the Super Chat chat room there, you'll notice there's a banner there for Mad Science Store. And if you click on that banner, it'll take you to where essentially is an explanation of what the Mad Science Store is all about. And then it also has the link to Let's Go Shopping. And also at the bottom of that page, you'll see another link that says free products donated for or by you. And that is that's another thing that I'm wanting to work on. Essentially, if you got research that you're doing and you make a certain product like coils, you know, I know Ryan Abrams makes some really beautiful coils for Tesla Technology and Slayer Exciter Research, does a really awesome job. And there's a guy out there, Gary G. Bleuer, that actually does Slayer Exciters and sells them out there, I believe, somewhere on eBay. But what I want to do is put links to all these different individuals to not only help them in their research, but help you as well, so that you can, if you're wanting to do research in Tesla Technology or Slayer Exciter Technology or whatever other technologies out there, like the Easy Spin Motor that Laser Saber does. Lid Motor is another good guy out there who's done a lot of research. He's replicated a lot of different things like Laser Saber's Easy Spin Motor. There's just so many really awesome researchers out there. And the only way that I can think that anybody could actually help to support these researchers is for people that have access to websites like this that can actually put up banners and links to their sites. And you know, if you have the capabilities and want to donate to those individuals, that would be wonderful as well. In the free product section, it would be something like, you know, I maybe have some parts that I don't need that I'm sure that somebody else could use in their research, so I could donate these parts to the deal and post pictures and links of everything on there. And then any researcher or that was interested in doing that could literally go on there and do some shopping. And essentially, you don't have to pay. You just have to pay shipping if it was such a big item that, you know, whoever donated it couldn't afford. and also some of the funds that would be coming into the website itself could be used if we had wanted to donate for shipping cost or whatever. All the sellers, none of their money, none of their products would be shipped or whatever by Shaziz Radio. Those would just be links to their sites. It'd be a store that was all combined in for stores all over. So the only products that we would even receive any money for or any kind of donations that we would be actually handling would be stuff that was related to just Shaziz Radio and Mad Science alone. So with that said, read what the deal is. It says under the Mad Science deal, when you see it says coming soon, it's got a list of about 11 different things down there, and asked if you think that this is for you, then contact us and we'll put you a store up in there so that you can sell your alternative energy designs or whatever. That's not what I wanted to say, not designs per se, but if you make a part like coils or something like that that people need to actually do the research. And so basically that's what that's all about, to try to put their hold on there, somebody's trying to send me a message here. It always happens live. Let me try this right here. Doggone it. Sorry, folks. I got distracted by somebody. Anyway, back to the store deal there. Basically, on ShazizRadio.com, there will be links to all kinds of different things, everything from solar panels, and that's why I was talking about Laser Saber earlier, TeslaMaker.com, because I've looked at these little solar panels that he got, and they're like really super efficient. He actually sells kits to put these portable solar panel chargers together. And I think they're worthy of, if you guys are looking into doing a little bit of solar to supplement your electricity or whatever, be worthy to check out. So anyway, that's what the whole store deal is about. If I got something to donate, I can click on there and put some pictures up, and whoever needs it for their lab, they could either pay shipping, or if I have the funds in the store itself that I can actually pay to ship it for them for free, then it'd be totally without charge. And another thing is that there would actually be people, say in Australia or different countries, that it's not feasible to actually ship to that country. So what we're also looking for is people that are in different areas that are making pretty much the same thing, so that there will be people in Australia, if you want coils, you could buy directly from Australia. You wouldn't have to worry about all the shipping or stuff like that.
Save on the energy too of having to ship it all over the place when the material's already there and the labor's there and the desire is already there.
Yeah.
No point skipping over and wasting tons of energy shipping things all over the world from one person running them ragged when there's plenty of other people willing to lend a hand and help out.
Yeah, so you'd be basically looking in your area to see who's selling what in your area, and hopefully that will benefit you. And I'm going to go to a quick music break here for a second. Doggone it. If I make... Sorry about that, folks. I'm trying to get... There's somebody really wanting to listen, and they can't get in there. So I'm going to throw a couple tunes in there real quick, and I'm going to see if I can get them over to a link where they can listen. Stay tuned, folks.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
voyagers of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
All right, everybody. Sorry about that. I did an old radio no-no. I paid attention to the chat while I was trying to get somebody in there. So with that said, I want everybody to be able to listen in. And anyway, back to the store deal there. We were talking while I was trying to juggle that and juggle this that... we'll also put a section on there for things that aren't necessarily related to alternative energy for those who are actually in alternative energy and selling different products or whatever. Just basically the whole idea, the whole concept of the Mad Science Store was to help to try to support the alternative energy researchers out there. People trying to get, copper wire or whatever it is that they need, products and supplies for whatever. Anyway, back to Mad Science there. I was talking about that video, and I was talking about the fact that you could energize that gas and not only get visible light out of it, but you also could charge a capacitor and even do this while it was underneath the lobe charging another deal. So, in my mind, it's pretty impressive there. And the LED technology, like I was talking about earlier, is also, if you Google up how LEDs are made and actually watch the process, it's pretty amazing what they actually do to create these LEDs. Hold on a second. This is crazy. All right, Thomas, I'm like thoroughly distracted, man. All right, anyway, so what do you think of that LED technology there? You know, how that actually works is when that photon of light hits the electron, it actually produces visible light, and in some incidents it produces invisible light
I think I got it a little backwards. But when the electron movement occurs, it causes an energy wave to basically cause the atoms that are inside that the LED filament is made out of. It causes it to raise in energy status, and then when it leaves, that's actually when it's producing the photons, because the electron shell is shrinking back down, and the photon is ejected out of it every time that happens.
Yeah, I didn't say I was distracted.
However, here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. I'm sure there are some people that have already come to this realization, but if you strike those atoms with photons in that LED, and you've got it hooked up to something that needs power, it will generate power.
Yeah, that's what I was saying a while back. You could take a LED and hold it up in the sunlight, and you can actually charge a capacitor or even a cell phone with that thing. Now,
right.
Is it going to charge super fast? No, but it is actually doing some charging. So, on one hand, you put power to one side, and you get you get light out. And if you put light through the other side, you get electricity out the other side. So, to me, that is some amazing technology. Oh, you think?
Well, what it is is basically just as simple as this. You're taking randomized energy, and you have a diode that whenever you strike it with this randomized energy, that energy has to come out of the diode in one way or another, and the diode forces it in a single singular direction. So you're taking something that's moving all kinds of crazy different directions and working to cancel itself out and whatnot, and organizing it into a coherent energy source so that you can get some work done out of it. If you have a whole bunch of guys that are all lined up, a good way, I guess, to look at it would be a whole bunch of guys doing tug of war, but on both sides, the people are randomly facing it at, you know, opposite directions, so that you've got basically people pulling different directions back in, like, let's say you have 100 people. Out of those 100 people, you might have as many as 50 people on that side that are pulling the wrong direction, whereas you've got the other 50 people trying to pull the right direction. So neither side is producing any work. Even though they're all straining and struggling, you know there's tons of energy being exerted, no work's getting done. But if you flip all of those people over and you have, say, you know, 30 people on one side and 70 people on the other side, the side that's going one direction or with 70 people is going to yank all the 30 people, no matter what they do, toward them. And that's all you're doing is you're creating an unbalanced bias with that diode, so that all that randomized energy can be organized so that it's all pulling the right direction.
Well, you know, for a whole lot of folks out there, you just melted their brain. You know, essentially, to put it easily, you throw nature off balance, nature's got to balance itself out, and you grab that on the way back, on the way through, you know. But, yeah. You still there?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the being able to capture, you know, energy from the sunlight, being able to capture energy through, like, everything from solar panels all the way down to LEDs, and I'm sure there's a lot of other materials out there that are light sensitive as well. You know, and this specific video shows a very interesting anomaly to where not only you're getting out visible light, but you're also charging up a capacitor at the same time. Now, once again, I got to explain that this isn't necessarily free energy, and I'm not saying that it is. How am I going to say this without getting shot?
It sounds like you're trying to answer the star. Which one is better, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Yeah, I had that kind of feud there. I've been called a Trekkie, man. A Trekkie nerd. Anyway, basically, go watch the video and form your own conclusions on the deal. But I still believe that there's a lot of potential in these little anomalies, such as what you see in this video, and the fact that LEDs not only can pick up light from the sun and actually charge with, or you could put energy to the other side and energize them and create light, but they also are really good for picking up radiant energy. So you've got one little device that is not only capable of producing light when it's energized by your voltage there, but it also has the capability of picking up radiant energy and solar energy as well. So to me, that's a really amazing technology. If you have the capabilities to literally put together a device that not only will pick up visible light, but also pick up invisible light, which we know is possible, that you can detect infrared
source.
Yeah, because if you look at your remote control, on your TV, there's a little diode that picks up infrared light, and on the other side, there's a little diode that's sending out infrared. And so that's how you can change your channel, but you don't see no, like, laser beam going from one to the other. It's able to pick up that energy and tell a sucker.
Actually, it's not even that efficient. I mean, it's not even that inefficient. I mean, that device is actually not working with a laser. It's actually just that the LED that's on the front of your remote control is kind of like switching a flashlight on and off and just flashing the whole room with a very low amount of power, and that little LED device is basically able to pick all that up, that sensor.
Yeah, but once again, it's not in the visible light spectrum where you're picking this thing up. You know, you can see the red LED.
Well, you've got light that's on the opposite end of the spectrum, too. The human eye can only see so much.
Yeah.
When you go above a certain frequency or under a certain frequency, this is more proof that basically energy can be used to target and manipulate specific material while leaving the rest of the material alone.
Yeah.
So for, you know, matter replication, making, you know, food out of carbon gases and nitrogen-bearing gases and whatnot, all possible. And the energy levels required for it, just like that LED that's using no energy, yet it can still do what you would have to exert an immense amount of energy to stand up and walk over and start pushing and clicking buttons. It can do the same thing with just that tiny amount of a few photons that makes it from across the room from your remote control into the TV.
Yeah, so to me, I don't just look at those things like that. You know, I look past those things like that, because imagine building a solar panel that would work not only during the daytime, but would work at night as well, because there, believe it or not, there is light coming from space, whether it be from distant stars, reflection on the moon, or, you know, infrared heat. You know, there's heat around. If you go get one of those cameras like the fire department uses, you'll see that you can see the world in a whole different view than you're accustomed to. It'll pick up different heat signatures off of different materials, or, you know, warmer than others or whatever. But my point is, and that's another reason why I put this link down there to Laser Sabers. If you scroll down in the chat room, the TeslaMaker.com, he knows where to get a hold of those flexible panels, and he actually sells kits to build portable solar panel kits, charging stations. Anyway, but these cells that he's got, that he's been getting a hold of, and I'm sure you could find them somewhere else, it's just an easier, shorter path to something I've seen that I think would be worthy of everybody taking a peek at. But these cells, he shows out there in really low light conditions how he's still getting charging out of it, even, you know, facing it in all different directions, not directly at the sun. Any visible light that's out there, it's picking up that visible light. And the same thing that I'm talking about, I've seen with the little miniature, like the dancing flowers or the little solar lights that you put out in your yard or whatever, that charge up in the daytime and you got them at night. Those things are really super efficient. They're really good cells. I took a run a bunch of them in series and actually got them in one or two of the videos that I've done here recently. But on a small scale, if you could gather up a bunch of them out of the scrapyard, most generally when people, when the batteries run down, the batteries are more expensive than the doggone unit itself, the rechargeable batteries anyway. And when those batteries go bad, they usually end up in the landfill somewhere. And so rather than throwing them off in the trash when you can't use those batteries anymore, you salvage those cells up out of there, like I did, and just add them all in series with each other, and you know, you'll get a pretty decent little charging station out of that deal. What do you think, Thomas?
Well, I think there's more research that can be done in this, too. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are going to try to argue that those solar lights that you're talking about aren't efficient, but it's not the solar cell's fault. That's almost entirely because of the lack of technology in the capacitor, because the capacitor can only hold so much energy. And they don't take energy in as efficiently as the newer, more expensive capacitors that you could get, like the booster caps and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, and there, and also, you can even take some of the old junky ones and you can add multiples to them. You can build a huge capacitor bank, you know, using the old style. You know, are they as good as the boost caps? By no means, no. You know, they're not that, they don't charge and discharge nearly as fast. But they're still, even in the trash. Well,
boost caps are not that hard to make, though. That's just it. There's tons of information online on how to basically make activated carbon and whatnot to make your own, you know, basically your carbon or graphene based capacitors.
Yeah, that's what Robert Murray Smith was doing in one of his latest videos, was making capacitors. Pretty impressive too. And actually, at one point, they were actually charging up themselves there for a while.
I would say that it's probably a mark of just how close to you know, how hard he hit the nail on the head by the fact that somebody tried to get his video pulled.
Yeah.
And there was absolutely no reason whatsoever to try to pull it, other than he was sharing with people how to make their own technology.
Well, and I can feel for him, man, because I get blasted all the time. I put a video up there, and I know there ain't really nothing wrong with that video. You know, and I am continuously, I got somebody who hates my guts or something, just continuously comes and thumbs down no matter what the video's about. You know, I don't even know if they even watch it. They probably just see it come up in the deal and just put the thumbs down on it. But I wouldn't even mind people thumbing the video down. What I'd prefer is that, you know, you put a little notation in there. Hey, you know, your video stinks because of, you know, and whatever.
Give you some feedback, basically.
Yeah, not just drive by, thumb them down, and go on down the line. Because, you know, and when I get turkeys that come by there, I'll put a video out, and I'll put a question mark on that video so that it's a thinking video. You know, I want you to think about something. Is certain things possible? Are they not possible? I want to hear your feedback on it. Well, if you just come by and throw some kind of rude comment in there, I'm not only going to delete the comment, I'm just going to block you off the channel, because I want thinkers coming to my channel. I don't want people coming there that's just,
you don't want trolls.
Yeah.
And that's all they are, is a troll.
Nobody wants to come to a person's video and have to argue and cuss with a troll for, you know, the time they're there.
Who's arguing just for the sake of argument?
Yeah.
They're attention seekers. They didn't get enough time with mommy and daddy when they were little. So yeah, now they're taking it out on everybody else instead of actually seeking out positive attention.
Yeah, because like I said, even in those videos out there where there are, you know, maybe guys have got, they don't have a free energy device, but they're trying to pass it off as a free energy device. For some reason or another, there was something plausible in the whole deal, an anomaly or something. And even watching those videos right there, I see that a person could learn a few things, you know. And, Bosh.
You got giant turkeys out there, too, though, that are putting batteries inside things and hiding them, and then trying to pass it off as free energy, too. So, which I suppose it is free energy if they took the batteries out of something and was thrown out in the trash, but not the kind of free energy we're looking for.
Yeah, well, let me define free energy for people out there. First off, when I talk about free energy, I'm not talking about over unity, nor am I talking about zero point energy. I'm not talking about getting out more than you're putting in. That's a misnomer. I mean, if somebody can do that, more power to them. I'm not even trying to defy the laws of physics. All I'm trying to do is say something as simple as this. When's the last time you got a bill from the sun, or the wind, or the earth? Now, there are ways by which you can actually tune in to the earth itself without having to without causing any damage to anything. Or, for example, the wind turbine, you know, you ain't changed nothing in that wind. You haven't got out more than you put in. All you did was put something up there that, as the wind's blowing by, you're picking up that energy. Same thing with a water wheel. When you put the water wheel in the water, it's, as the water's going by, it's basically turning that wheel, which in turn is turning energy. And so I'm sitting here trying to do 10 things at once, so if I'm distracted, apologize for that. but you'll probably get blasted.
There is a way, if we were drawing enough energy, we could cause damage, but by the time we're drawing enough energy to cause any kind of damage or long before it, we would be basically, you know, energizing a starship armada to leave this planet because the sun is about burned out. We've got several hundred billion years before we have to worry about that.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, I know I've had this conversation with so many different people about, you know, especially earth batteries. You know, if you plug in the ground, it's going to kill the plants or whatever like that. I don't know. You know,
I think that depends on what kind of materials you're using. If you're using the stuff that you guys have been talking about, it's not going to do anything except basically create a corroded rod.
Well, basically what I got, you know, I got a copper-coated rod and a zinc rod pounded down into the ground, and there's so much weeds that grow around that thing that it's just, you know, it's nuts.
So you might actually be affecting the ground positively by putting something that the plants are needing into the ground.
Yeah, well,
because I guarantee you that zinc rod is not staying a zinc rod. It's going to turn into zinc oxide. And plants use that as a source of zinc. Almost everything needs zinc. If you're getting sick, like coming down with the flu, and you take a bunch of zinc supplements, you'll feel like you're not sick at all because you have given your immunity system such a boost from that zinc that it will actually fight off the flu and the bacteria that's building up that's making you feel ill.
Well,
so it runs out, you feel great. So you're pretty much, you know, boosting the immunity and the metabolism of all the plants around that zinc rod.
So essentially what I'm hearing you saying is the same thing I agree with. There are ways to work in harmony with nature without, you know, doing all this. I'll tell you what. While I'm doing my research out there, if I find anything that has any kind of adverse effects, whether it be towards nature or to my own person, you know, I'm not going to pass that information on that I feel that's going to harm somebody or the environment. Basically,
well, the trick is not to hide the adverse effects, because most of the time we find that adverse effects are not necessarily an adverse effect all the time. Like, you know, you run power through a wire and it gets super hot and it'll start glowing and it'll, you know, it'll burn things if it's in contact with people, and you could burn a house down with it.
But
yeah. That same technology inside of the old light bulbs from you know, the Edison Tesla era would light a room.
Yeah, well,
so
I guess
ended up being beneficial, you know.
I guess I probably phrased that wrong. Basically, I'm not talking about necessarily hiding the technology, but I'm not going to advocate. You know, I would say, you know, something like,
give your proper warnings.
Yeah,
you know, like, when this is something that's happening, if somebody can find a way to make a beneficial use out of it, that's great. But if you use this technology without making a couple changes here to get rid of this effect, you could end up causing X, Y, or Z.
Yeah,
just,
I like that.
You know, give whatever you know and leave it at that.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to do what they're going to do with technology. So,
well, there are so many different potentials out there. And I look at electricity in a whole different fashion as everyone else out there. You know, there are a few people out there that see what it is that I'm saying and agree, and you know, basically teach me something too. But the whole thing is, maybe electricity isn't what the book says, and maybe there are many ways that you can literally tap into the energy around and basically go with the flow, you know, such as the, you know, jumping in a canoe and going down the river. You know, you get where you want to go, but you ain't done nothing to the river to harm it or whatever. You know, anything's got to be better than putting radioactive material in boiling water and running the risk of blowing up.
Well, there's tons of technology that could have been spun off of that too, after the first nuclear reactors were put up to get rid of the nuclear waste and not have to build any more nuclear reactors at the same time.
Well, and
that nuclear waste is constantly putting out energy that inside a very small amount of, with a very small amount of it, like we're talking dust of it, put inside of a small, like, you know, maybe a half inch or quarter inch or even an eighth inch thick layer of lead, you can literally put solar cells, phosphorescent material, and radioactive material together into a compound, bury them underneath roads to get rid of it, and use it to power electric cars.
Well, there you go.
Same for everybody.
That's what I've been saying forever and a day. You know,
Here's the problem with the way the system is working right now. Retooling and resetting up for using something new requires a large investment, as opposed to continuing doing what we're doing. That's why we're still headed, as you said, toward that cliff, because it costs more time and energy than people want to invest to throw on the brakes and change direction.
Well, you know, here's the thing. There's folks out there that are opposing the oil pipelines. There's folks out there that are opposing the nuclear facilities. There's folks out there that are opposing any kind of technology for that matter. But on one hand, we're talking about saving the planet from the so-called global warming, which I ain't even going to go into that. Everybody knows how I feel about the bogus scam that they call global warming, climate change, man-made, whatever. Nature's in charge, and I'll leave it at that. But anyway, the technology is there. Even in the waste, that is tons and tons of waste that has been buried, if you use that waste properly, that radioactive material releases energy as it decays. It's what they call radiation. And so radiation
becomes safe.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you can get all this energy from it. The trick is packaging it up in a way so that it's safely stored away, and you can get some work out of it instead of, you know.
Yeah.
You only used half of it. It's kind of like the waste that goes on inside a gasoline engine, where majority of your fumes that are coming out of your tailpipe are gas fumes.
Well,
instead of actually, you know, completely decomposed hydrocarbon material as carbon dioxide, water, and water vapor, which is what it's supposed to be.
The depleted rods, which are no longer danger to the fact is they don't have to be cooled down like the fresh rods. And here's what's going on here. When you have a fresh rod of radioactive that's, you know, refined radioactive material, now this thing is so radioactive that when you put it in water, it excites the molecules to the extreme to that it actually heats that water and boils it. And so this is where whenever they get to the point where they're no longer heating the water because the radioactivity has decreased to such an extreme that it's not heating the water anymore. When they throw that away, it is still releasing energy. There's still radioactive decay going on there that could be used and recaptured in a safe manner where you're not boiling anything. You're just picking up that energy as it decays. A prime example of how that could be done would be your average smoke detector has a radioactive material in there called americium. And when you, and there's also another material in some of the smoke detectors, but either way, it's a little tiny piece of radioactive material. And it will sit there, and it will, as it's decaying, release energy. And that energy is then picked up on the other side by a detector. And as long as that current mains constant that is being picked up from that little piece of material, then your smoke detector doesn't go off. But if anything gets within that field and disrupts that current, then the voltage drops on the other side, which tells the smoke detector, hey, there's something to worry about, and sends the siren going. So with that said, that's proof positive right there that you can pick up that energy off of decaying radioactive materials. And it could be such a case as even the natural uranium that is picked up in the, that they dig up out of the dirt, you wouldn't even have to necessarily take it out of the ground. If you had the right kind of coil system or whatever, something that wouldn't deteriorate from the ground itself, you know, some way to keep it from corroding, and you buried it right there where you found a big old plot of uranium, as that stuff is decaying, it's going to release energy, which then in turn could be picked up by the coils. And another example of this is the radiant energy that you get off of a Tesla coil or a Slayer exciter. Everything in this world has its own frequency. And all these frequencies could be detected if you had a sensitive enough tuner. So, you know, with that said, it doesn't matter what form electricity comes in. I've taken, you know, LEDs and I've charged capacitors with LEDs using radiant energy. taking fluorescent bulbs and energize the gas and charge capacitors using radiant energy. I've also done the same thing with not radiant energy as you'd see on a regular Tesla coil, but radiant energy from a Slayer exciter. And you can obviously tell the two difference of like the ozone, the smell of the ozone around a Tesla coil that's just running off a high voltage has a distinct ozone smell. But if you are around the Slayer exciter, it's more of a burnt wood type smell of ozone that's being actually created out there. It's different. You can actually smell a difference in these two when they're running. But what I'm trying to point out is all of these are sending out energy waves. And so if you're sending an energy wave out, there is a way on the opposite side to capture that energy, whether it be via energizing gas or using something like a material like aluminum or cheap stainless steel to capture that radiant energy. And then while that, let's just take the aluminum for example. If you have a block of aluminum and you have it sitting anywhere near a Slayer exciter or a Tesla coil, and you're pumping high voltage up there and you're sending all this radiant energy out there, it's going to energize that block of aluminum. You can put a spark gap right next to that block of aluminum, and you can actually tune it down to where you can literally see a gap, a little arc jumping across that gap. Then you can charge up a capacitor with that thing. I've been doing it for years in my mad science laboratory. So we just took one form of energy wave as it's coming through and charged up a capacitor. So if I can charge up a capacitor using RF frequencies or just regular radiant energy off of a high voltage source or a magnetic field or whatever, that ought to say something. What do you think, Thomas? No?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So hold on a second. I'm in the middle of doing something. Yeah. I didn't want to blast you guys out with noise. I was just silently listening, so...
Well, anyway, the simple
you know my thoughts. I mean, I've got like five different concepts on the drawing board. Some of them I've touched down into a little bit in the physical realm by, you know, putting materials together and doing tests and whatnot. Some of them are still just mathematical designs at this point. But, you know, there's so many different directions we can go to get the energy we need.
Yeah, and here's the key. The key for Shaziz Mad Science YouTube and the radio show and all that and the Knights of the Round Table is essentially this. If I put an idea out there, and it may just be just an idea, it may not like the video that I'm talking about with the fluorescent bulb. Okay, it's neat. You got light and you're charging a battery at the same, or charging a capacitor at the same time, which to me is about the same thing anyway. But if you took that idea and you ran with it, how much better could you actually get if you took one fluorescent bulb instead of just one fluorescent bulb? You had you had multiple fluorescent bulbs wrapped around a coil, and you was hitting that with some high voltage or RF frequencies or whatever you want. You essentially have a whole bunch of fluorescent bulbs surrounding a coil wire. And as that energy is coming up, you're not just picking it up off of one source, but you're picking it up off of every single one of those bulbs. So what I'm saying is you took that one idea, you expanded on it, and you could potentially be the one who actually puts the holy grail of energy down in front of somebody. I don't care who gets credit for what. All I care about is that it gets done. We have the technology. We have every single piece of the puzzle to literally create clean, free energy for the entire world. And when people like Robert Murray Smith get their videos yanked down because somebody didn't like something they said or process they might be using or whatever, it's cheating the entire world. And so I'm going to put as many ideas out there on the table. And you know, if you've ever seen my mad science laboratory and in my videos, you notice that, you know, there's a lot going on in there. There's a lot of projects. There's a lot of ideas. And I'm going to keep on putting them in videos as fast as I can And hopefully you'll take that little bit of information, if it's new to you, and run with it. Like the LEDs, you know, the LED technology is amazing. You can use them to charge up your cell phone in a worst case scenario. You know, and fluorescent bulbs, those will last forever until that vacuum is broken on that bulb. You can still energize that bulb even when you can't use it in the normal system with the ballast and everything. You know, when that tungsten element in the end of that bulb burns out, you can no longer use it with the normal AC system like you did before. However, it's ironic because even though that won't work in the normal system, you can take that ballast out of that unit and you can turn around and take the high voltage that you get out of that ballast and still light up that dead light bulb as if it was brand new. They set these systems up to fail, whatever you want to call it, planned obsolescence or whatever, to make more money. But they set them up to fail. You can literally have a light bulb, and Ryan Abrams did a version of this for Cultus, and called it the Cultus bulb. But either way, that bulb, he could run over it with his car and bang it around and still light it up wirelessly. So this is a bulb that will last for thousands and thousands of years unless it decays, you know, and the vacuum breaks. As long as that vacuum never breaks on a fluorescent bulb, you have a light bulb that will last forever. And all you have to do to energize that is either hit it with some high voltage, and we're not talking about a whole lot of current watts and amps there. I'm just talking about strictly high voltage. It's the frequency rate at which that's coming in. It's causing those gas molecules in there to be energized that is lighting that bulb up. And then once again, we know that light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. And so you're getting light out of it. If you can take a Van de Graaff generator or a Wimshurst generator, and you can produce high voltage. You can even try this at get you a piece of a doggone piece of PVC plumbing and a piece of maybe wool or cotton rag or whatever, and you can sit there and rub on that in the dark, and then turn around and touch that bulb, and you can literally light that doggone bulb up. Yesterday I was using a negative ion generator, a little 12-volt version of a negative ion generator. And I noticed that after I was tinkering around with it for a while, and I actually took the battery loose, and I had the bulb in my hand, the bulb's still lighting up because I'm still negatively charged. I still got energy in me off the deal. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, If worst case scenario come down and you didn't have no electricity and you wanted to build you a doggone generator and you knew about static charges, they call it the triple electric effect. I think it was rimstar.org has a video up that he just put up here recently. I don't have a link to it, or else I'd pass it on into the chat room. Find it later if I can. But anyway, he shows how, you know, basically you can rub a balloon on your head and you can stick that balloon to the wall, and he explains why the triple electric effect works. And, you know, there's so many different versions of energy out there, and it's all just basically, to me, electricity is electricity, no matter whether it's coming out of your cell phone antenna, your walkie-talkie, or, you know, whatever. You know, it's a wave, energy wave that's going through there. And if you can figure that out with all the stuff that we've got access to, then you can take any form of energy, whether it be a radio wave or whatever, and or just a magnetic field, and create energy and enough energy to run even the crud that we've got going on out here, these inefficient electric motors. The best thing in my mind would be, like you said, Thomas, retooling it and, you know, starting off fresh instead of building an electric motor that required super thick wire and, you know, a whole lot of current. Why couldn't we turn around and build one that would run off of strictly high voltage alone? You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like the technology isn't there. And if you're worried about RF frequencies, there are means by which you can see how far the field is actually coming out. You know, as you can test the strength of the field.
Well, RF doesn't stop unless something stops it.
Yeah, but
it just becomes, if you know anything about light, it goes through what's called the square inverse law, where basically the further away from the source you get, the weaker it becomes.
That's the point I was getting ready to say.
Well, I was going to say, if you were, like, one of the things I was looking at the potential of, because you can light up those fluorescent bulbs that are completely dead using the Slayer Exciter.
Yep.
Why not build a cage that captures all the RF and maybe even channels it back into the bulbs, but stops it basically from leaving the area? You put a little Slayer Exciter coil system inside of an array that has a couple fluorescent bulbs, and then you can use those bulbs indefinitely.
Yeah.
You're charging the gas directly instead of having to activate the mercury vapor that's inside there in order to pass electron flow from a coil outside of it into the bulb and then through the mercury vapor. Because from what I'm understanding, the mercury vapor is acting in the xenon and argon and whatnot that's in there the same way salt acts in water to allow you to conduct electricity more easily through water.
Yep. Well, while that gas is bouncing around in there, it's building up pressure and it's building up energy, and that's where one of the anomalies that shows in that video that I put in there, the video's name, Watch This. And I don't make any large claims in that video. I just basically say, watch this, and you'll see that I'm taking an 8-volt battery, and I'm charging a capacitor up to 10 volts at one point, actually over 10 volts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's something there, all right? And not
that's
only...
That's actually the basis of stepping up voltage from DC to DC power.
Yeah, but either way, it's not just the stepping up process, but it's also the mere fact that I'm sitting here getting visible light out of something that I am actually using to charge something else, and even when it's underneath a load, you can still see the voltage rising on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not about the type of energy, it's about the type of collection that you do. Where are you going to store it in order to use it? And there you go. There's many ideas that you can use, whether it be using an LED, which I also did a video on there, that showed using LEDs charging up, using gas charging up. So there's tons of inert gases out there. There's tons of different materials that can be energized. And so with that said, you know, essentially the mercury arc rectifier, going back into time there. I saw somebody put in there about a time machine. And so don't underestimate it. Anyway, I won't go into all that, but if you can take and pick this energy up, not only using an LED or using gas or whatever, then there's a potential to literally pick up energy right out of the air itself. You know, there's people out there that's done little bitty circuits, you know. It's all determining on how sensitive your receiver is. So, we know we can pick up light from the sun. We know we can pick up light from a flashlight. We can pick up light from the light bulb in your lamp. We know we can pick up radiant energy. We know we can pick up a magnetic field. And we know we can divert all that into a capacitor bank and then use that capacitor bank to get physical work out of it. So we know that free energy is definitely there. Now, here's the key. Are we going to be able to put a device together to use free energy efficiently and cleanly, or what?
Well, the more effective that it is at lasting, too, and not breaking down, the better.
Well,
because obviously that's the biggest expense in free energy, is maintaining the equipment that's actually capturing and converting it into something useful for you to use.
Well, and I
solar cells, they'll last for 200 years, but every year that goes by, they lose 0.5% of their effective output. So after 10 years, or 20 years, you've lost 10% of the energy that they would produce. A 100-watt solar array will now only produce 90 watts.
Yeah, but even at that, man, still 90 watts is good. But when I was getting ready to talk about the mercury arc rectifier there, I got kind of distracted by a time machine comment. That mercury arc rectifier, it is just like one of these argon bulbs that I use, these little stove, the fluorescent bulb starters that I get from Walmart for two for a couple bucks or whatever. Now, those are used to set up as whenever you're running high voltage through there, they have a little heating element that will turn that circuit on and off depending on how much energy is inside that bulb. Well, I take those things and I use them for spark gaps. And not only do I use them for spark gaps, I also use them to pick up radiant energy, because you can actually hold on to that thing and put it in the field next to a Tesla coil, and you can see plasma build up inside there. So once again, if the vacuum ain't never messed up, then you can still use that doggone mercury arc rectifier in forward and reverse. Now, to use a mercury arc rectifier the same way I would be using the fluorescent bulb or the other, you would have to have some serious radiant energy to get that process started, because how a mercury arc rectifier works is it starts off with essentially a dead short. High voltage AC coming in heats up the mercury, which in turn vaporizes the mercury into a gas, which in turn is turned into the fourth state of matter being plasma, and essentially creates a diode that...
What else is inside the arc rectifier, though, besides the mercury?
I'm not exactly sure. As far as I know, there's just a little pool of mercury inside there.
There's no xenon or argon in there?
There could be a potential of there being some argon in there. And if
that's the case, that still sounds like basically you're using the gas and the mercury is just a seeding mechanism to get the gas to work in a more efficient manner. Otherwise, it acts as a bridge or a dielectric until it has that vapor wisped up into it. Because one thing that we know about gases is that if you take one type of gas, a pure gas, and you release a small amount of another gas into it, it will evenly disperse into that other gas. It'll basically work its way out to where there's an equal amount of parts per million throughout the entire chamber that other gas is in, completely contaminating the other gas. So if you're gasifying mercury, then what's most likely happening is the mercury is evenly spreading out as much as it can throughout the other gas that's around it, making it conductive, because mercury is conductive.
Well, and there you go, man. There's secret after secret after secret right there in front of everybody's face. You know, I just find it amazing. And is when I, like, once again, like what I said, when I talk about free energy, when's the last time you got a bill from the sun? There's a lot coming from sun. There's all kinds of infrared. There's all kinds of different types of radiation or waves coming through there. Take your pick, you know. You want to use the photons coming off the sun to gather up energy. You want to use the heat off the sun to gather up energy. You want to just use the wind or whatever. Nature has provided the largest power source in the history of time, and so if you want free electricity, all you got to do is use it. That's all there is to it, man. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough. I mean, it's there. We know that we can take a fuel and we can squirt the fuel in a mist, and we can run our cars off of it. But is that efficient? Are we wasting 60 to 80% of the fuel? What happens?
Actually, we've seen plenty of instances where people have put together modifications that make the engine run more efficiently too.
Yes. And so
they get more of the burn out of it instead of a big chunk of it coming out because the droplets are too small, or maybe too large, or because there's just not enough oxygen to feed it so that it can break down. I mean, there's lots of little contaminating factors. Not to mention, is the fuel pure? because when they pull it out of the ground, it's heavily contaminated with all kinds of heavy metals. And though they process a lot of that out in order to basically produce the fuel that we're using, there's still material left in it.
Yeah.
And that causes other unknown or unexpected side effects, or side effects I don't know about, but, you know, they just kind of thumb their nose at it because they can still get some work out of it. Even though they're not getting all the work they could get out of it if they were making completely, perfectly pure carbon and hydrogen-based fuel.
Oh, yeah.
No metals.
Not to mention that, you know, you'd use less of it if you're sending it in as a vapor as opposed to a stream. And, you know, even a brand new car, whenever you go back and the exhaust stinks to beat all heck, you know, there's so many reasons for it to stink, but you're obviously not burning it all out. You're not burning the cleaner, or else they wouldn't have a doggone catalytic converter sitting there trying to clean it up as it comes out. So you're wasting a lot.
Right. Carbon dioxide and water vapor have no smell because, well, I mean, they have smells, but we can't smell it because we're made of those two components. We're made of the components that's coming out of that. And it's kind of like you go into your house, you smell nothing. If you go over to somebody else's house because it's slightly different, you can smell the smell, but they can't smell it. They come to your house and they can smell it in your house. We're desensitized to the smell of carbon dioxide and water. So our gas vapors coming out of the tailpipe should not have any smell whatsoever to them at all.
Yep.
You shouldn't smell a thing. In a perfect burn, it should literally, gasoline should turn completely into carbon dioxide and water.
Yep.
Anything else that's coming out of there is basically lost energy.
Yep.
Carbon monoxide is burnable, highly burnable. In fact, wood gasification systems are making carbon monoxide out of wood, and then they're burning it to make pure carbon dioxide and water vapor.
Yeah.
So they're taking a toxic substance that we're worried about that comes out of our tailpipe, and they're making energy out of it and producing something that's completely safe for the environment because plants will absorb the carbon dioxide and make oxygen and sugar and protein and all kinds of other stuff out of it. And obviously we know what happens to water. So,
well, what aggravates the crud out of me is in the hydrogen world. The hydrogen world really bothers me bad because hydrogen and oxygen, you know, I've messed around with hydrogen cells, and those things are volatile. Man, if you don't got your flashback arrestor, you're getting an explosion. It's as simple as that. Yes,
well, they have technology for that. I don't know why it's not becoming more prevalent. But they make tanks.
I'm not knocking it for that reason.
Right. I was gonna say they make tanks that'll hold hydrogen that are actually a solid. A porous stone.
Yeah.
So there's no way to get the whole thing to ignite.
I'm not knocking it for that reason. That's not what I'm knocking it for. What I'm knocking it for is I hear all kinds of people out there saying, well, it takes too much energy to get this amount of hydrogen and this and that, which is a hock a hooey because Stan Myers drove around in a dune buggy with water in it for a long time before he met his untimely demise, as far as I'm concerned. But either way, when you're burning hydrogen out the other end, you get water. That's all there is to it. You know, you don't even got waste out the other side. And so, you know, we should be right now be able to take just about any material under the sun and atomize it or vaporize it and run our cars off of it. And we should be able to use water to run our cars off of. But yet you'll continuously hear the same old stuff all the time. Oh, we're running out of fuel. Cars are polluting the ozone. Cars are causing global warming and all this.
That's political agenda.
Yeah, well,
political agenda, you can get people to vote for you. It's as simple as that. White man versus black man. The electric car versus the gas powered car. I mean, it's all just basically to get people riled up so they'll run down and flip those switches to throw those votes and keep putting their faith in the system, which is basically self-destructing the people that it is supposed to be caring for and taking care of.
Yep. There is enough power in hydrogen to run any normally gasoline engine. Water is that powerful that you could run a gasoline engine on it.
Right. You know, to give a better example of exactly what's going on when people complain about the like climate control or the climate, climate changes and global warming and anything else you can think of that basically is being used by any political office when they say, we're going to make changes on this and we're going to fix this problem. What they're doing is you have a broken leg. They broke it. To keep you from noticing you have a broken leg, they're taking a hammer and hitting you in the hand and say, oh, that leg doesn't hurt so bad anymore now, does it?
You're right. You're right.
Misdirection. It's all misdirection. Well, we have to completely break free of that, and the only way we can do that is if we have the power to do so.
And thus far, it is the reason why here on ShazizRadio.com I put together a mad science store. Now, I'm not trying to get rich, nor am I asking anybody out there for any donations towards the site. The only thing that I ever ask anybody who even listens to the show is that if you like what you hear here on Shaziz Radio and all of our affiliated networks, tell your friends out there on your social networks. If you're in alternative energy, come over and hear what we've got to say. Add your 2 cents worth in there. But
and find people to network with and work together.
Yeah, and so the Mad Scientist Store, in my mind, is to support the alternative energy researchers out there, or even other people who are using their products to sell to support the alternative energy researchers. So if there is an alternative researcher out there who has a product that they make that they want to sell, Slayer Exciters or kits for Stirling engines or whatever, and you want a storefront, it's free of charge. All I do is I get pictures of what you want, and I put them on there, and links to your YouTube or links to your PayPal or your links to your eBay or whatever. So I'm basically
the shortest end of this is that you're just providing a free page with full of links.
Yeah, there you go. So
direct links.
I'm putting
this isn't eBay.
I'm putting a platform together by which you can share your ideas and share your products out there with everybody, anything that's going to be beneficial to the cause. And so here's the thing. If all of us together, listening to all these shows, want to get what we've been talking about all this forever and a day accomplished, support your local researchers. Support your radio hosts out there that are providing alternative medicines, alternative ideas, any alternative that is beneficial, that is not the system, that is the beast that's eating us all alive. That's what the whole thing was all about. I want to speed up the process in alternative energy. You know, one day I'd like to say, I've solved it, here it is, that you take it off and run with it and retire and not even have to talk about it anymore. Because I know 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt that electricity is free. It's all over the place. It's coming from space. It's coming from the ground. It's coming from the sun or whatever. It's coming from the wind. And so with that said, all you need to do is be able to tap into nature there, you know, and allow nature to do what nature does. Get a little bit of work done as nature passes you by and do it in a clean and efficient manner. We can do that with even nuclear waste, for Pete's sake. We've talked about ideas on how you can take all that nuclear waste. There's enough energy in the nuclear waste dumps to run this planet for probably the next 10,000 years. You know, are we going to use it? I don't know, man. Guys got to still sell oil. They still got to sell you electricity. You know, there's a war out there over who's going to burn what.
He's still got to sell you on a political system so that he can make more money off of more war machines.
Yep. And so it ain't going to get done unless we just do it, you know. Don't ask
that's
permission.
That's it. Stop. Well, yeah, I was going to say stop expecting somebody else to do it for you. Don't use that vote as a way to cop out.
Yep. Take any idea that you get here on Shaziz Radio and go out and make your millions. If you hear me say something on there or show a video and you get an idea that sparks off from that, go make your millions. Support.
And a lot of people don't understand it, but if you're supporting somebody that's in the lab, you're essentially in the lab with them.
That's right. So, I'm going to keep on working on this this mad science store and adding links. So if you have anything out there that you'd like to try to add to there to sell, you know, whatever, just contact me on Skype, contact me in the chat room, Facebook, YouTube, or whatever. Tell me, hey, look, I got a product. Can you showcase it on the Mad Science Store? And we'll put it up there, you know. And so basically I'm just going to be the guy standing there, and whenever somebody says, hey, do you know where I can get some solar panels? And I'll say something like, yeah, go over there to TeslaMaker.com. He has these flexible panels that are really cool, and he also sells kits to make portable power stations. That's, you know, I'm not getting any money off of that deal. I'm getting the satisfaction in knowing that if you need it, it's there for you. You know, there's...
You're trying to better the world so that your children will have a better world to live in.
Exactly.
Fixing one problem at a time so that you're not leaving those problems behind for them.
Well, that's what that's all
about.
They're
going to have plenty to solve on their own. It's not like there won't be more problems to pile on top of the pile. Let's pull some off the pile and lighten the load a little.
Yep.
So...
So anyway,
so what do you think about the idea that we were talking about earlier of having two separate sections on there, like maybe at the top or put it on the left and the right, where one is to support the work of the people who are doing research but may not be energy related directly, whereas the other one is directly related to energy, like they're selling actual energy products.
Well, I love it. And the best thing about cyberspace is it's not like going out and getting a regular storefront where you only have so many square feet. We can add and add and add and add. And I love the idea that even if you've got some sort of health food thing out there that you can make or whatever, or like Thomas, you make those really cool masks and stuff like that and those goggles or whatever, you know. So... You know, all these things, if it benefits you out there and you can use this platform, you come to me with ideas and I will help you get that idea out there. That's what it's all about, folks. This whole Shaziz Radio isn't about me getting famous or being the coolest dude on the planet or whatever. This is about putting something together, some sort of platform for networking with all our brothers and sisters around the globe. You may use Facebook, and other people may not use Facebook, but if you're out there on Facebook and you like any of the shows that you hear on Scotty Sovereigns of the Land or Tina Sora Radio or Wake Radio or Shaziz Radio or any of the other networks out there, 1800 Online, there's so many networks that's come together in this whole deal, you know, TCT Radio. There are so many different... awesome people out there trying to do the same thing that you're wanting. We're trying to make the world a better place. We're pointing out things. We're talking about things. We're actually bringing solutions to the table. And that's what the whole purpose of all of this is. This is your platform out here. Shaziz Radio and Awake Radio and all these others out there are your platform. You know, use it. Use it to benefit the world. Use it to benefit the future of all the children of the world and all of humanity. If you can support your local researcher, you'll get your free energy device a whole lot faster. If you've got an idea and you can speed that process up, then throw it on the table. All of our ideas together, you know.
Well, there's no telling what else is going to come out of the research they're doing.
Yeah.
You may end up supporting somebody who's working on energy research and ends up not only putting out some sort of really good energy source generating devices that you can use, but technology for, you know, printing out your next iPhone. You don't have to go down to the store and buy it anymore.
Yeah, and there's another key right there. If you're an individual out there that has a 3D printer, you know, and there's guys out there that are good with computers. There's just so much talent in all different directions. And if we focus that in there, like I said, I'll be the guy that's standing there saying, you know, somebody asked me, where can I get good solar panels? We'll go over there and check that guy out. Well, where can I get some flare exciters? We'll go check that guy out. There's links to everything. There's going to be links to everything that we can send you to. If you're a researcher, you can get the stuff. If you're not necessarily a researcher, but you'd like to have some of this stuff to check out anyway, we'll figure out a way for you to get it. And I also said that I want to that on that store deal, is actually going to be a free link. And so if you've got something free to donate to a researcher, if no researcher needs it, it'll still sit up there until it is needed. But if you have some, you know, old junk computers or whatever, and you want to donate those, we'll put a picture up there, give them your information that they can get a hold of you, and you guys can work out how to get it to them, or if you can't afford the shipping cost or whatever it is that you're trying to send to this particular researcher. Any funds that I can rake up over here on Shaziz Radio, I will use that to pay for that shipping just so that they can get what it is that they need. It's about of all of us pitching in our resources together and networking. And if you ain't got nothing to add to it other than throwing a link in and telling people out there on Facebook or YouTube to come to Shaziz Radio or Awake Radio or any of the other affiliated radio networks, that is just as valuable as any other input out there. You know,
sometimes it's more valuable.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not trying to do anybody wrong. We're not trying to sell anything that, you know, we can't produce, or, you know, try to sell anybody any bogus free energy device plans or anything like that. Anything out there that's going to be put out there that says that it's going to be a free energy device, it, believe me, it will be well vetted, or it won't be in the store, because we're going to make sure that what people are getting is what they ask for. And, you know, I'm not about letting people get ripped off. And so with that said, you know, we got a really good potential here, and if everybody wants to use it, then I would be forever grateful and happy, just because of the mere fact that I know that our humanity is moving in the right direction as opposed to the wrong direction. There is free energy out there. They're not going to give it to you. No government in this world is ever going to not want to get taxes off of your electricity. No government's going to want to not get taxes off of your fuel, your coal. They're even trying to tax the wind and the solar, for Pete's sake. They're trying to tax the water. They're taxing everything
that they tax land. The fact that they tax land that you live on,
yeah,
is an indication you are never free. You can never own anything, which means that you can never be a free man.
Well, you're
always beholden to them. That means basically, no matter what, you always got to pay your rent to Uncle Sam.
Yeah, and they all
and have no control over what they do with the money once they get it.
The only way to get past that is for all of us together to literally start building our own world the way that we want it to be built. Not asking for permission, standing up for the guy over there who's trying to put his solar panels in his yard to supplement his electric bill, you know, standing up for whoever, and helping one another out there, sharing these ideas, building them, keep the research flowing left and right, networking with one another, and literally build a system beside their system, and when their system up and collapse, and they're over there crying and boo-hooing how everything's so terrible, we can bring them over and set them down at the picnic table and give them a sandwich, okay? And
I'll say the trick here is to stop worrying about trying to shut down the things that are broken and start worrying about starting something up that's not broken, because nature automatically defers to the better argument.
Yep.
So if you have a better solution, the system will buckle and fold and the people will immediately abandon it and come to the better solution.
That's right.
You've got to come up with a solution first, though, instead of just screaming about shutting down the old one.
That's what I'm saying. We don't even have to shut it down. We can
just bypass the argument entirely.
Just bypass the argument, like he said, and just put the solutions out there on the table. And, you know, if somebody's door keeps slamming all the time, and they can't figure out how to keep that doggone door from slamming, and then some guy comes along with a little wedge of wood and sticks it up underneath that door and keeps that door from slamming, and they sit there and scratch their head, and they look at it, and they're like, man, why did not think of that?
Or a spring that he hooks up to it so that whenever it's closing it, whenever the door keeps flapping open, it catches it and brings it back to being closed, so your heat's not going out the door every time you turn it around.
Yeah. Exactly.
Every time the kids forget to close it, it automatically closes itself.
But folks, we all already have everything we need to literally build a system that if the normal system collapses, we're all right. If the economy falls flat on its face, we'll be just fine. if the doggone if nature throws a curveball at you and rips down people's houses, you know, we'll get together, we'll patch them up, and we'll fix their house. We'll feed each other. We'll take care of each other. This is what we should have been doing all along, being the caretakers of the land and animals and everything, one another, and just living happily ever after. It is possible. It sounds so utopian, so not possible. But the alternative is this. We sit there and let society go the way the society is, and all those guys behind the guys and gals behind the scenes selling you down the river and doing whatever it is to benefit themselves, you know, the alternative is that, you know. You watch your freedom continuously deteriorate. You watch prices of everything continuously get harder. You live in misery instead of relying on your neighbor down the street. Your neighbor down the street, he makes a garden and he's always got extra vegetables. And if you was halfway of a nice neighbor to him, he'd probably share those with you. And then again, even if he didn't have a whole lot of them, but you made something down on your side of the neighborhood that was beneficial, you might be able to go over there and barter with him, swap it one for one or whatever. You have the capabilities and the potential to create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And it's not going to happen in the system that we're in, because it's blatantly obvious. You ain't going to beat them at their own game, so don't even pull up to the
card. And they're always draining excess off of the top. There is no cream left for anybody else, because they keep taking it.
Yeah. So, do it like this. Live your life, love one another, build your products, share them with each other, sell them, whatever. Do whatever it takes to start working towards an alternative system that, like I said, you don't even have to collapse the other one. You don't even have to worry about the other one collapsing, because you've got neighbors, you've got friends, you got family in every single nation of the world. And as long as we can keep those knuckleheads in check to where they're not blowing us up before we actually get down the road, if their system collapses,
or making us sick.
Yeah, or making us sick. There's something, we got to have those folks out there into the alternative law and study of law and all that, keeping our eyes off it. Because Thomas Jefferson said, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And if we ain't keeping an eye on those knuckleheads, they'll do their communist thing right behind the scenes. And before you all know it, we're living in the whole so-called police state, one world government, or whatever. We don't have to go down that road if we don't choose to do so, because on this planet there's about 7 billion people. The smallest majority are the ones that are in the parliaments and the Congress and the Senate and the White House and the police stations and all that stuff there. So if we, the people, put our resources together...
Even a couple of the people who work for them and are willing to support them, they're still in the minority.
Yeah. So if we, the people, use our resources together, our mind power together, our love, our friendship, our trust, and we work with one another, continue to build these networks and these alternative radio stations, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish. And as far as the messes that are already made, the Fukushima mess over there, all the damage done by the BP oil spill and all that kind of stuff, you know, nature's going to clean it up. We may not have time to wait around. We need to jump in there with nature, and we need to help clean that mess up. And it is possible for us to take that mess over there and turn it into a plus, such as taking that energy and the heat off of that to stop the reaction of all the boiling of the water and potential more explosions, to cool that thing down. Use that energy that we're depleting off of that to either heat homes or use the electricity for whatever purpose. But it ain't going to get done until people out there decide to listen to guys and gals out there with brilliant minds and brilliant ideas. You know, the solutions are there. We can do it. And instead of us boiling water, you know, back in the day, we boiled our water with coal or wood or something like that, and there wasn't no radioactive potential explosion in the process. And even that natural uranium right out of the dirt had capabilities, because that, when radioactive material decays, it releases energy. You can see this in a lot of the experiments that have been done out there in Tesla technology and in the Slayer Exciter. You can energize that gas. You can recapture that energy. You can charge a capacitor bank up, so you're getting a two-for-one. You're getting light and charging at the same doggone time. That's why I said watch this video. All right, so the potential's there. It's up to all of us to figure it out and do it. You know, what more can I say? You got the network. You got the platform. You got microphones. You got Skype. You got one another. You got ideas. You got all the research that you've been doing all this time. Man, I am humbled. I'm truly honored that anybody even pays attention to what I'm trying to say, because I call it mad science for a reason. I look out, I listen to all the stupidity. The guys and gals trying to tell me how the planet's heating up because of carbon. And I'm scratching my head and I'm saying, but, that ain't what they said in science class back in the day. You know? And so, the political agendas, the special interests, and all the people out there, the tree huggers or whatever, you know, hey, if you want to save the planet, if you want to save the world, if you want to erase the so-called global warming, then what are you waiting for? We got all the pieces of the puzzle. Let's just do it, man. Stop protesting out in front of the governor's building. He ain't going to do nothing. And we'll say whatever. He's Congressman Bongwater. He's going to say whatever he can to get elected. That's all there is to it. Now, all your friends out there on all these different networks that have come together, look, you got power. And up until the point when they shut your internet off on you, you'll still have that power. But if you keep on allowing them and do what they're going to do, they're going to shut the internet off. They're going to compartmentalize each and every one of us. They're going to take the squeaky wheels and put them off in some sort of re-education facility and tell you to shut up. They're going to have the whole sign, know your place, shut
They're
your
basically
face.
Going to put you in a place where you're going to get your hand smashed repeatedly until you stop thinking about your broken leg.
Exactly. Well, we have it. We have the potential. I want to see how many people out there can actually help me with that potential. I looked down in the numbers in the chat rooms here on Shaziz Radio and Awake Radio, and it ain't about the numbers for me at all. But it always tells me whenever I start seeing those numbers going up that the word is going out and people are actually coming around because they're interested in alternative energy, they're interested in alternative foods, they're interested in alternatives to the whatever mess is
the
going
boot,
on in this
the boot
world.
On the neck. That's what they're interested in, is the alternative to the boot on the neck. So, doesn't matter whether it's a right or a left boot when it's on your neck.
If y'all want to pay it forward for me, and I pay it forward for you in return, go out there, throw a link on your Facebook, throw a link on your YouTube, tell somebody out there in cyberspace that, hey, you know, while you're over there worried about all this doomsday and stuff, there's some guys over there who have a potential solution to this doomsday. Together, we can get it done. We can clean up the messes that have been made in the world. We can ensure that there are no future messes to the world. We can do this together. There is enough of us. There are 7 billion people on this planet. If you're waiting for your representatives to do it, it ain't going to happen. Period. My grandfather always said, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. And so we're going to have to do it ourselves. Yep. And when these guys and gals out there that are supposedly our representatives are trying to get us into wars over whatever resources, we need to stand up. We need to shout. Now, imagine this. The voice of almost 7 billion people shouting in the ears of the representatives of the world. We don't have to go out there and get violent. We don't have to even smash nothing. And I don't advocate smashing nothing anyway, because what a waste of material. You busted somebody's window out. Now you got a doggone bunch of dangerous glass laying around everywhere. And somebody else has got to remake it, which is going to be counterproductive to your cause if you're an environmentalist, because now you got broken glass in a doggone dump that ain't going to get recycled. Somebody's going to step on and get cut. You just wasted your time and made a fool out of yourself.
Never mind all the wasted energy that's going into the atmosphere with potentially toxic metals and whatnot that are going to be used for making more glass to replace that window.
When I say shouting like you got the news media over there spreading propaganda and lies. You got 1,000 people to walk up behind the news cameras and wave at the camera and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. You let them know. Hey.
Yeah, they won't broadcast that, so don't rely on that to get your...
It don't matter. But if you show
other,
up...
We've got other ways to send that message out.
If you show up...
Why do you think most news medias have a catchphrase of more of the news you want?
Yeah, but check this
out,
brother.
Want.
Check this out. If every time you see a news camera out there and there's a crowd gathers around that news camera, they can't film them outside anymore. It's too crowded. You know, every single time they try to use that camera, if they're not going to tell the truth and spreading propaganda, there's always a crowd there. You can't, we can't use this tape because some knucklehead in the background raising a ruckus.
So they just cut out the volume. You better get out there with some poster board with words written on it or something.
Well, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to basically, if they want to sit there and shout out lies to the world, people.
The truth is, though, less and less people rely on these centralized media hubs for their news anymore anyway, and they go to alternative sources. I mean, YouTube has basically changed that forever.
Yeah.
That's dead and done. You can forget trying to control the world with the typical news media you see out there now.
Well,
not only are you getting what somebody actually thinks and nobody's telling them what not to say, but you're not getting all the advertising from that person. If you get any ads from YouTube, it's coming from Google. Google is providing that, and that's it.
Yep, and I agree. But here's the kicker, guys. We're down to the last 2 minutes here, and stay tuned for the Hope Show. But you have the power. You've got the platform right now. It's up to you to use it. You got the neighborhoods that you can pass out flyers. Tell them about Shaziz Radio. Tell them about your network, or tell them about your website, or tell them about information. Just keep
it. Or if you just found something somebody else has, it's a really good idea. Like this Shaziz Mad Science store. I mean, spread the word.
Yeah.
You know, if you got something useful to put on the store, then throw it in there. If you got somebody that you think should know about it, tell them about it.
Yep, that's how it works. Well, we got to run, Thomas. Thanks again. Once again, another fascinating show, and I appreciate you helping me out with this deal. A lot of good information comes out of these shows. And for those of you who are interested in past shows, the podcasts are up there for the Knights of the Roundtable tomorrow. Join us in and become part of the show there and talk and be one of the Knights of the Roundtable. We got the power. It's time for us to use it. So with that said, I'll play us up out of here with some madness. And stay tuned for the Hope Show. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.